Hi, and welcome to the LifeSource Christian Church Audio Lounge with Senior Ministers John and Ann Juliano. Have you ever wondered about how to better connect with God? Well, that's exactly what we're going to help you with in this week's show, where you'll learn how to more fully love God, grow spiritually, and help others.
You know, the truth is this morning, I want to tell you that there is only one thing that God asks of you. The fact this morning that he's got you on his mind, that you're in his heart. He thinks about you. Please don't just, you know, switch off when I say this because you've already heard it many times. I really believe that today there are people that you need to know that you're in his heart. Online, that you're in God's heart, that you're the apple of his heart, of his eye. The Bible tells us that your name is written on the palm of his hands. Not just with an ink that'll rub off, but with an ink that stays. How does he have so many names on his hands? Maybe because they're big hands. I don't know. I've got big hands. But the truth is, the Bible says that you're on his mind. How amazing is it that you are on his mind and that God is interested in you? Sometimes I can't believe the fact that God is interested in me. And I go, why would you be interested in me and not others in the same way? I've always had a consciousness and awareness that there was something more to life than what I was experiencing, and knowing that there was something out there. And I can still remember the day that I prayed the prayer. Everything just changed. But to know that God is interested in you this morning. Not everybody else, but he's interested in you from the very front to the back, left to the right, every seat where you're sitting. God is interested in you, every person that's listening today. God is interested in you. He cares about you. He loves and longs for you. Micah 6 verse 8 says this, he has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you except to be just? And to love, to diligently practice kindness, compassion, and to walk humbly with your God, setting aside any overblown sense of importance or self-righteousness. There's only one thing that he asks of you, and that's your heart. Not your beating fleshly heart, but your life. That he would be the number one. He would take that place of kingship and lordship, firstness in your life. That you would forsake all others and you would take him. You would choose him on a daily basis and to put him first, that he might show and display himself through you. He asks that you love him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. But the first thing that he asks you is that you would love him. And he would have your heart to take the first place. He only wants one thing. If you take the word faith and make it into an acronym, and I haven't deliberately this morning got any notes for you to watch the screens because I want you to hear this and I want it to go into your hearts. The word faith, break it down, F, forsaking all others, everything else. Forsaking everything. All, A stands for all others. Your wants, desires, your pleasures. I, me, that's you and me. Take above all others, choosing him before everything else. Take him. Take him to be your Lord and Savior. I do it on a daily basis. And sometimes it comes out like this. Oh, Lord, help me. Lord, please come. Deliver me from evil and the things that want to take my heart. Come and be the Lord and Savior of my life. Help me to live an authentic life that's not shallow. Help me to represent you well today. Help me in the frailty of my humanity, in my imperfect speech, in my clunky ways and in my ways where I mess up and I know I do things and say things that I shouldn't say. Lord, help me. Please be the Lord and Savior of my life today. I choose you. I don't want to live and exist and have a form of godliness And then wear a Christian badge that says I'm a Christian, or so my neighbors know, yeah, he's a Christian. How do they know that unless I tell them? I don't want to be known as a person that has a badge, and I don't want to have on my tombstone he was a Christian. I want to be a person that has an authentic sound. So when I walk into a room, I don't go pong, I go ping. I don't go thunk, I go ting. That when I walk into the room, something changes in the atmosphere because of whom I'm in love with. When I walk into a room and Rachel's there and she's not here this morning, otherwise she'd distract me. But seriously, my love for her is the first thing, and I look, there she is. And I love her, I care about her, I'm so grateful for her. And my love for her is authentic and it's genuine. But I want to have an authentic love for Jesus. I want to have an authentic faith where it means that as the dictionary defines something as authentic, the dictionary defines something as authentic when it conforms to what it's represented or claimed to be. I've had many times where I've claimed to be something and lived a different way. Have you? Or is it just me? Authenticity means consistency between words and actions, and between claimed values and actual priorities. Authentic means genuine. Inauthentic means that we claim to be one thing, then prove to be something else. I remember many times growing up, going to church and saying I was one thing, but then living a completely different lifestyle. And it was so dissatisfying. And the time came for my life personally where I just had to choose. I want to not just be godly. I just don't want to just have a name. And in 2 Timothy 3 verses 1 to 5, and it's actually in verse 5, it talks about having a form of godliness but denying its power. What it's talking about is you can actually say that you're a Christian, but you can deny its changing power, the power of the cross. Because Jesus, when he died for me, paid the price for all of my sin. He died that I might actually have the power to live for him. He filled me with his Holy Spirit that I might receive power to be his witness. And everything changed. In a year of divine activation, our Heavenly Father wants us not just to have a form of godliness. He wants us to be godly. He desires us to live a godly, honoring life, God-fearing lifestyle that reflects that Jesus is alive and he lives in me, being salt and light in our world. We are his ambassadors. We represent the kingdom of heaven. We represent the kingdom of heaven. Let the weight of that just stop for a minute. We represent the King of Kings. Not the king of somewhere else. We're talking about the creator of the universe. We represent him. I want to make sure, I want to encourage and inspire us this morning to make sure that as his ambassadors, we are carrying hope, love, joy, and peace. And as Pastor Rachel said, that we're building arks, we're visiting tombs, we're caring for people, we're going to places where we can make a difference. We live in a society that is crying out for answers like parched and dry ground. The truth is, this sponge this morning's got nothing in it. It's dry. Hasn't been used for a long time. Maybe the person who owns it, which is not me, hasn't cleaned their car for a while. I cleaned mine a week ago, then it got dirty again. But the truth is, in our society, 49% of our population would love to have a discussion about spirituality. Not necessarily Christianity, but spirituality. People are looking for answers to life, faith and meaning. People are looking for intimacy, a place to belong and community. I was talking to somebody yesterday at a cafe. I happened to go to them because I enjoy coffee. And I was quite surprised at what his response was. He was from a different nation. His response when I said, "Do you like living here?" I said, "Because how long have you been here?" And he goes, "Well, I've only been here just over a year." And I said, "Do you like living here?" And he goes, "The country is so beautiful." And I went, "Yes, it is." But then he made a statement and it kind of rolled round in my heart. I found myself dwelling upon it, thinking about it and saying, "Why is it like that?" He said, "The country is really beautiful, but there's no peace and joy." And it stopped me in my tracks and I thought, there's no peace and joy. He went on to say, I don't find peace here like I find in my own country. I don't find joy here like I find in my own country. Romans 8:19 is an incredibly challenging verse, and I find it compelling, especially in the light of living in a society that where we live today. If we live in a land that's like dry, parched ground, and we've all seen pictures of ground that hasn't been watered. We've all maybe had pot plants that have died because they haven't been watered enough because maybe we just didn't remember, right? But it says this, it says, for even the whole creation, all nature, reading out of the Amplified Version, waits eagerly for the children of God to be revealed. Another version says, the earth cries out for the manifestation of the sons of God. God is wanting to show himself strong on your behalf. He's wanting for us to be people that make a difference so that people can find hope, life, faith, and meaning as they talk with us. You know, we read about the earth as an invitation to everybody. We read it in Isaiah 55, come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. There's an invitation to everybody to accept Christ. In John 4, we read about the woman at the well. When Jesus is in discussion, he talks to her about a water that will quench the desire in her, that would satisfy her like nothing else. If we live in a land that's like a dry, parched land, there is an invitation from a loving God who has our names written on his hands to come and to drink. If there was ever a time, I just want God to shake me and wake me up, to cause me to realize that I don't have a life to waste. I only have one life to live, and I want to make it count for him. If there was ever a time we needed to ask God to open the heavens and reign as well in his kingship and his lordship, it's now. That's why we would have revival prayer meetings, because it's not about us. It's about everywhere else that doesn't know Jesus. A land that is parched and dry, we declare that this is a land of the Holy Spirit, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. And we believe it, don't we? Yes, we do. I believe we do. But the truth is that the ground that I'm surrounded by is dry and parched. The earth, Australia, the nation, cries out for the manifestation of the sons of God, for us to stand up and to be counted, to take God at his word, to build wells, to build arks, to visit tombs, to make a difference. Why? Because we're activated and motivated by what we have found. Rain usually comes from clouds, true? Not a trick question. Rain normally comes from clouds. It can rain when there is no cloud. It's usually a light rain, and we've all experienced rain at night. It's called dew. True? You walk on it, your feet are wet, come inside, you mow the grass. Oh, whoops. But the truth is that you can have rain without clouds, but it's usually a very fine mist. In times of drought, there can be clouds, but there can be no rain. That's why some countries will seed clouds with aluminium and different oxides to, I think that's what they use, so that it will seed the cloud to rain. You can make clouds rain. Did you know that? You can. I'm not having you on. Please grab your phone like you may be doing right now and Googling and checking. You can make clouds rain. There's another statement. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. The truth is you can lead a horse to water and it doesn't drink, but you give it a salt block to lick and it will make it thirsty and it will drink. The truth is in times of great drought, there can be forecasts of rain, but no rain. And in extreme drought, crops die. The earth cracks and it dries up. In those situations, there can be, and there are many nations around the world that literally experience severe drought. A place where water is treasured. It's a treasured commodity. Water is transported to communities in tankers and trucks. in the form of bottled water as well. In some nations of our world, the word of God is like water. It's treasured. It's loved. Because maybe it's not allowed because of the drought spiritually. A single soaking of rain will provide lasting relief from drought conditions, but multiple such rains over a period of months are required to break a drought and return conditions to the normal range. Our prayer, as Pastor Helen would agree, softens the ground. Prayer moistens the ground. But it takes a deluge and more than one to revert the drought. Our nation and nations of the world are in drought spiritually. Society is in a drought when it comes to spirituality, absolutes, truth. Generation that we're surrounded by that doesn't want to be told but wants to ask the questions and then discover what truth is to them. I've always loved clouds, the different shapes, the beautiful clouds that you see at a sunset or a sunrise. Maybe you're one of those people that looks at the clouds and you can see shapes and things. I remember Rachel telling me one day, look, there's a horse. And it's just like, yes, there is. Because I couldn't see it, but her, she could actually see it. You know, the Bible talks about clouds and that the clouds are symbolic. You may have thought, well, why are we talking about clouds? The Bible talks about clouds in the Old Testament and it refers to the Noahic covenant, that God would never ever flood the earth again in the same way. Clouds first mentioned in the Bible, if you want to apply the law of first mention, is actually in Genesis 9:13. I've set my rainbow in the clouds and it will be a sign of the covenant between you and me. We read about the presence of God that as we move into the book of Exodus, that God guided the children of Israel through a pillar of cloud. The Bible talks about clouds in a symbolic way in the New Testament. Clouds appeared around Jesus. The Father spoke from the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son." And Jesus was surrounded by the cloud. Jesus in Acts 1:19 ascended into the clouds. And in Revelation 1:7, Jesus will come again in the clouds. The purpose of clouds are to provide shade and heat. They act like insulation or a blanket during cool times, and they water the earth. They say if clouds were to disappear from the earth's surface temperature would increase as much as 22 degrees. Some of you might be thinking, well, that would be nice, you know, warmer climate. But the truth is these extreme temperatures, if they were to spike like that, would cause crops and habitation to be killed off. All flora and fauna would be impacted and that disappear. Society would be impacted on every level. There's a saying that says all it takes for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do nothing. You and I can be like the clouds in society. We have a role to play. And it's not just to have a form of godliness. And it's not just to be like clouds. But it's to be clouds that have got something to give. In society, we have the ability to protect when the heat is on. The challenging times like the Good Samaritan we read in Luke 10. We've got the ability to comfort and to keep people warm in cold times, the challenging times of life. We've got the opportunity to bring refreshing in times of drought through webs of hope, life, faith, and meaning. Just like there can be clouds without rain, without water, the Bible talks about clouds being without rain. It says in Proverbs 25:14, like clouds and wind without rain is one who boasts of a gift but is never given. In Jude 1, verse 12, part of the verse says, they are like clouds without rain. I've discovered in life that it's easy to get busy and at times not really realizing it. I grow cold and I grow empty. And I become a bit like this sponge. And it has the form of a sponge and I can have a form of a cloud. And just would, if you would with me for a moment, this is a cloud. And it doesn't contain anything. But the purpose of the cloud was to contain moisture. And what I've discovered that over time is it's what I come near to that fills the cloud. If you do a bit of research online, you can actually see the different ways that clouds actually harvest water. You can see clouds soaking up water from the ocean in like a spout. You can look at clouds as they are formed by the way that the moisture is heated on the surface of the earth and it rises, condensates, causes a cloud. Just like you can seed a cloud, you can seed your love and your passion for God. You can seed your love and compassion for others by the way that you fill your life with things. In a year of activation, we have an opportunity, and one of the greatest things we could do is to ask God to awaken in us a fresh love out of an authentic desire for Him. In this room, it would be really wrong of me to think that we're all passionately in love with Jesus, the same what we were when we first discovered the wonder of who Christ is, but that He would awaken in us a fresh desire to become like Jesus. How do we seed the cloud? We take time to read His word, to be in His presence, and to be in worship and prayer. I've still got a cloud, a sponge that doesn't look like much, right? Maybe there's a little bit of dripping. But I immersed it in something, so when I squeeze it, there's something in it to give. God has asked you and I to be salt and light, bring out the God flavors and the God colors in this world. And I really wanted to ask you this morning, and I want to ask you this question, and Maddie, you didn't know I was going to actually share this verse when you shared it this morning. I can have a form of godliness, but when I stop and I ask myself this question, Psalm 63, oh God, you're my God. Earnestly I will seek you. How is my soul in relation to that? My soul thirsts for you and longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. And thus I'll bless you. And I had to ask myself, and I asked myself many times, Lord, help me not be like the cloud without water. Help me not just to have a form of godliness in a society that's like a dry and parched land. Help me to be a person that when I walk into a room, that there's something not just about the shape of who I am on the inside, but there's something that drips off of my life. It's called the presence of God. That when I walk and others can taste and see that the Lord is good, that they don't just try and drink from something where there is dryness and there is nothingness. Lord, create in me a clean heart. And this morning, we're going to finish our service in a little bit of a different way. And I wonder if you'd do something for me and with me. In a year of divine activation, would you be so courageous as to ask God to awaken in you a fresh love for Him, a fresh desire for Him, a fresh concern about the people that you walk past on a daily basis that don't know Jesus, that your heart would be moved with compassion, not just to feed yourself, but to feed the others. That God would do a miracle through you, like He did through the disciples where He fed the 5,000. And we know the story well. but that God would use you and others in humanity would taste and drink from the well that is a part of your life. And when you come close to them, the life that is the cloud would bring refreshing, comfort, support, refreshing in life.
Thanks for choosing to listen to the LifeSource Christian Church Audio Lounge. If you like this week's podcast, then please share it with a friend. More information about who we are is available at lifesource.org.au. On behalf of Senior Ministers John and Anne Giuliano, we look forward to connecting with you next time at the LifeSource Christian Church Audio Lounge.